let's talk about is recorded and produced in Treaty 1 territories, on the original lands of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and on the homeland of the Métis Nation. Thank you very much for listening. Hello and welcome back to Let's Talk About, this first episode of October. It is spooky month here in Winnipeg. It is time to get ready for Halloween. I actually spent a good chunk of my weekend doing some running around, getting my Halloween costume together. My girlfriend and I are once again pairing up to do a couple's costume this year, going as Geralt of Rivia and Yennefer Vengeberg from the Witcher video. We're going to do the video game versions, not the TV versions, because I can't look like Henry Cavill. I just can't. But we're going to be dressing up, having some fun. It's going to be nice. But that means we're going to have a bit of a spookier episode this time around, and I'm going to talk about the spookiest topic of all. Municipal politics. Yes, we are going to talk a little bit about our upcoming October municipal election, where Winnipeggers will be going to the polls and we will be voting for school trustees, city councilors, and mayor. This is potentially of the elections we've had in recent years, this might be the most important to Winnipeggers specifically moving forward, because we are in a period of transition. Winnipeg weathered the COVID storm. We are coming out of this difficult period, economic downturn, losses of jobs, and we have been hit hard. I think everybody's painfully aware of the explosion of our homelessness, poverty, and drug addiction issues here in the city. The system was not able to cope. It is coping, but it is not doing so as well as people might hope. It's not anything to do with, you know, people on the ground, the people at shelters and addiction centers and all of that. The people on the ground are working incredibly hard, but they simply do not have the resources and manpower to meet the problem as it has occurred. COVID caused lots of layoffs, caused many people to spiral into addictions. Many people lost their homes, their apartments, their livelihoods, and we are dealing with the aftermath of that. And throughout COVID, we had some continuity of leadership. We were led by Mayor Brian Bowman, who is now stepping down, finishing his political career at the end of October, going back to a private life. And he did a good job. I think a lot of people were a little bit hesitant. His first election 8 years ago was very close. He it was an election where there, you know, it wasn't clear who the winner was going to be, and here comes this guy with no experience coming in and really did turn Winnipeg around in a lot of ways, and changed the face of Winnipeg for a decade after we had Sam Cates, who was mayor for pretty much my entire childhood. Now we in Winnipeg not only have a chance to elect our new mayor, we have an opportunity to define the political outlook and set ourselves up, because this election will be setting us up for the next decade. We are coming out of this period. We are ready to take a major step forward. A lot of work needs to be done, and we as Winnipeggers get to decide what that direction will be, what things are important to us, what issues are important for us to tackle in the coming years, and how are we going to solve those issues together. And that's why I wanted to do this episode today, just to show you where I'm at and how my process is for deciding who to vote for. I'm not a one-issue voter by any stretch of the imagination. I look at all of the candidates and their platforms to assess which one fits my particular approach and my particular political beliefs more specifically. So I'm not telling you who you should vote for, and also I am not, you know, throwing my vote out there for one specific reason. I am not supporting a candidate just because of how they're going to handle one specific issue, but I want to highlight what the important issues are for me right now as I, you know, cast my vote to see who becomes mayor of Winnipeg next. And that issue, as you probably guessed off the top of the episode, is homelessness and addressing homelessness and poverty in Winnipeg. We have a growing problem here in the city, and the candidates are, for the most part, offering very progressive solutions to this issue, moving in a direction where I think we should have been moving for a very long time. Other jurisdictions have moved in directions like this and had wild success, but it's, you know, here in Manitoba, we don't like to blaze trails quite often. We watch everyone else try and fail, and we choose whatever succeeds. But I want to go through and talk about some of the specific issues, and these specific issues, that one as well as the environment, which is another major topic for me, and where the candidates sit on these issues. So if these issues are important to you, we can talk about these two issues and how what candidate might fit you. So I'm going to go down the list, and this is an article that was published, an article by Caitlin Gowerlick of CBC, and she went through and did the hard work of breaking down the 11 people and their platforms, the 11 people running for mayor and what their platforms are. And I'll be going down this list and talking about each in turn and what their platform is or is not. And speaking of is not, Idris Adelakun has no platform really that I can find outside of reducing taxes and increasing revenue in Winnipeg. No discussion about environment, homelessness, or any civil issues from what I've been able to encounter. Rana Bokhari does not have anything particularly directly to do with homelessness and addictions in the city. She does have a platform on the environment, which we will get to after. Her platform is tending towards budget and taxes. She wants to divert 10% of the Winnipeg police budget to social service organizations, which I think is a really great idea. But mostly her platform focuses on city planning, infrastructure, zoning, and transparency. Likewise, Chris Glasio does not have a solid plan on homelessness, mainly focused on city services and planning, and wanting to bring composting to Winnipeg, which is his one environmental piece from his platform. Which then brings us to Scott Gillingham, who has a fairly extensive plan for the environment, but a small and but a simple solution, a simple plan for tackling homelessness in the short term here in Winnipeg. What he wants to do is transform 6 city-owned vacant lots into modular housing units to help people experiencing homelessness. And this has been something that I've talked about on the show before. It's taking kind of the Montana approach to the homelessness issue and implementing housing first as an approach. So Montana has built very large, along with buying up properties and turning them into public housing units that they're able to put homeless individuals in, and they rehouse them and taking them into the Housing First program. One of the things that they've done is they've created modular housing units. And Gillingham's platform on homelessness and addictions, this issue is the linchpin. So taking these 6 city-owned lots that currently sit vacant and investing money into turn them into modular housing units so we can implement something like Housing First, give these people their dignity back, give them a safe place to go where they can lock the door, feel safe, someplace that's private, someplace that is secure, that's dry, and someplace that's their own, that they can take ownership of, and most crucially, give them an address that they can use to sign up for assistance benefits. They can apply for jobs and, you know, get themselves back on their feet. I've talked about Housing First on the show before, but it's a very important part. The 2 kind of most important pieces that Housing First does that are incredibly important for getting people out of homelessness is providing people an address and giving them their dignity back. Those 2 things go a long way to helping people get out of poverty, get out of homelessness. Just having a place to go that's your own, a place to lay your head down, and a place to put on job applications. So that really is the linchpin of Scott Gillingham's plan for homelessness and addictions. Moving on, we've got to Kevin Klein. I'm not going to say it's like, you know, it's the progressive conservative way, but it's a very simple plan. It's a plan that does not change too much here in Winnipeg, and I think that's kind of Kevin Klein's platform. He doesn't want to change things too much. Doesn't want to shake things up because he is a guy coming from, he's a Charleswood Tuxedo Westwood councillor. Anybody who knows those areas of the city knows who lives there and where their politics lie. But his plan, the 2 points of his plan for homelessness and addictions, he wants to create an advisory group to address homelessness in Winnipeg, just creating, a working group, an advisory group that I don't particularly see as, effective. But he has promised to put trailers on city-owned land as temporary shelter. So where Scott Gillingham wants to invest money into putting permanent modular housing units, things like refurbished shipping containers or things like that. Kevin Klein just wants to put trailers and like build a temporary trailer park on city-owned land, which hasn't really worked in places because it's not a permanent solution. I'm not personally too big on Kevin Klein's plan. It just looks like kind of wishy-washy, make it look like you're doing something without actually doing something plan. Definitely will not be voting for him on this issue. But who really is one of the people who is holding my attention is Sean Loney. Sean Loney has a fairly extensive plan for the environment, which is really big for me. He's got a fairly large platform and really large plan. But he is, an experienced social enterprise activist. He has worked for a long time in different enterprises, different groups, different organizations to tackle homelessness in the city. So he has a lot of experience working on that. But what he wants to essentially do is empower nonprofits to better compensate them for the hard work that they do in terms of homelessness and helping homeless people on the streets and people with addictions. So better compensating them, providing better funding so they can continue their valuable work. And he wants to work on a homelessness strategy that will free up emergency services as well. He's one of the people really calling out that if we can tackle homelessness, you know, we can reduce the calls to the repeated calls for people. We can begin to take some of the burden off our emergency services and provide better services, better targeted services. Part of his crime and policing plan is to reduce the burden on the Winnipeg Police Service by contracting out responses to frequent 911 callers to social service agencies. So people that are trained in mental health intervention and drug addiction intervention, have them go instead of police officers to hopefully have a better response and free up those police resources to go and tackle actual crime. But his homelessness strategy, it's not fully baked, which is a sore spot for me, but he is leaning on that kind of housing first, that empowering approach, targeting the idea that if we solve homelessness, if we can reduce homelessness in the city, that will free up significant resources. And there are already people doing important work and working very hard. We just need to empower them and provide better funding to these nonprofits and these organizations in order to continue the plan moving forward. Next, that brings us past. So Jenny Mokolek does not have a plan on homelessness. Her plan is mostly about like arts and culture and allowing professional wrestling performances and freezing taxes and freezing wages and some very weird plans. I think the only thing that I kind of agree with her on is she's promised to double the number of trees Winnipeg plants every year to 11,000. So she wants to just plant more trees. That's her entire environment platform. But she has nothing really on homelessness. Then that brings us to Glenn Murray, who is attempting to get his old job back. If you don't know, Glenn Murray was mayor before Sam Cates and left office. You know, he did not run for re-election because he wanted to get elected to federal office and did not get elected to federal office. Tried to turn that, you know, the goodwill that he had with Winnipeggers to that, wound up moving to Ontario, where he became a member of the Ontario Provincial Parliament, and is now, after some time with different organizations, is back in Winnipeg trying to become mayor once again. And he's currently polling as like the runaway favorite to win the mayoral election. That doesn't mean the race is over. That doesn't mean the election is pointless or your vote. If you're not voting for Glenn Murray, that doesn't mean your vote is pointless. Your voice should be heard, especially down the ballot. But with Glenn Murray, we are looking at someone who, you know, has some experience and in a lot of ways has some pretty good plans. His homelessness and addictions platform is not massive, but he wants to open and fund more addictions treatment and recovery services. He wants to involve dozens of addictions treatment centers, nonprofit housing organizations, churches, and community health organizations, bring them together to establish a stronger response to homelessness. And he wants to increase funding for outreach programs at community health centers like Mount Carmel, Nine Circles Community Health, and Clinic Community Health Center. And part of, you know, that platform extends to his housing platform, which he wants to build more affordable housing on city-owned lots and work with other levels of government to restore funding for housing programs. So that kind of comes together with that. But again, his plan for homelessness and addictions, like nobody's going as far as someone like Scott Gillingham, who's literally saying, like, I want to turn these six lots into modular housing to get people into and help them move forward with their lives. No one's going that deep. Sean Loney's getting close. And I would say that in a way, Glenn Murray's kind of getting close, but like not as far as the other two. And in terms of that, somebody who's also not getting very close is Robert Falkland Ouellette. His platform on homelessness and addiction, as he's promised to do more to help people with addictions and having more social services available during the evenings and weekends to respond around the clock instead of just in, you know, the usual 9 to 5 hours and having even fewer resources for that. Finally, we have Rick Schoen, who actually has a really, I honestly hope that, you know, if Rick does not get elected, I hope that the other candidate, whoever does get elected, looks at this and says, okay, that's a great idea. Rick wants to have a supervised consumption site in Winnipeg, which I think is it's a long time coming, and it's his, really his only point on homelessness and addictions. But it is something. Supervised consumption sites do work. They reduce overdose deaths. They positively contribute to reducing risk for addicts, reduces HIV infection rates, reduces spread of communicable diseases, increases health outcomes, and helps get people into addictions treatment programs much more effectively than we are currently doing. And then finally, Don Woodstock has absolutely no plan to address homelessness. I guess in like a weird roundabout way, replacing transit supervisors with plainclothes police officers might be there to address homelessness and addictions, but I can't exactly say for certain. Overall, his plan, there really isn't much to his platform either. But really, yeah, the candidates, Scott Gillingham, Sean Loney, Glenn Murray, really are the only ones with a solid plan. So if homelessness is important to you, those are probably the candidates you're going to want to look a little bit deeper into. All three of them have very extensive platforms. They've been very open about sharing. So I think, and weirdly enough, those three are the three favorites heading into election day so far. In terms of environment, there's a little bit more buy-in from the candidates in terms of environment, which is an important topic for me. Again, Idris Adelakun doesn't have anything on his platform aside from reducing taxes and increasing revenue in Winnipeg, but Rana Bukhari does have something on her platform. She wants to make all municipal buildings net zero and focus on active and public transportation routes. You'll see a lot of the candidates looping in public transportation and active transportation into their environment platforms. The making buildings net zero is very important and a nice touch. I don't know if she said anything about public the electric buses that Winnipeg has ordered and New Flyer is currently constructing. New Flyer is a Canadian or Winnipeg company, by the way. I believe that would probably be part of her platform. Oh, and along with, you know, active transportation, she wants to reopen Portage and Main because the barriers are going to have to be taken down for structural repairs. She doesn't want to spend the money to put them back up. Easy. Chris Classio, as I said before, the only point on environment, he wants to bring composting to the city. That's just a thing. He wants it to be, have 3 bins instead of 2. That brings us to Scott Gillingham, who has a pretty extensive environmental platform. He wants to assess the cost and implementation timelines for a citywide composting program because there was recently a pilot program done here in Winnipeg. He wants to have full electrification of Winnipeg's light vehicle fleet by the end of 2023. He's promised to convert the Municipal Accommodations Department to a, quote, green properties and green power agency with a focus on retrofitting city properties. He wants to ensure Winnipeg uses more recycled materials in its construction projects and pledged to seek external financing for the addition of solar panels and geothermal heating to city buildings. So this is a very deep and extensive platform if you really think about it. So having a dedicated agency in the city that's looking towards, green properties and green power, which is great. And then just the small changes like having more recyclable materials, fully electrifying vehicle fleet, bringing composting and financing for solar panels and geothermal. It's just chipping away more toward making our city greener, which I think is great. Kevin Klein, looking through his platform, doesn't really have anything on the environment, and that's not a big surprise for me. So if you're if environment is important for you, don't vote for Kevin Klein. But then there's Sean Loney, who has a very, very extensive environment platform. He wants to install 500 electrical vehicle charging stations. He actually wants to just improve and make it more feasible to have EVs in Winnipeg overall. Wants to introduce, quote, smart taxes in Winnipeg, rewarding businesses for, you know, focusing on things like cutting carbon emissions or reducing the amount of water runoff in the city's sewer system. So just rewarding businesses in terms of, you know, reducing their tax burden if they are able to show that they are doing things with the environment in mind. He wants to speed up permits for projects that reduce carbon emissions. He wants to require any new city project or renovation to incorporate solar. So just mandate that these new buildings and constructions need to have solar power implemented in them. He wants to allow residents and business owners to lease large solar panels in exchange for a credit on their utility bill, which we have to reach an agreement with Manitoba Hydro to do, but still. He wants to connect 40,000 homes with geothermal heating loops by 2030 and wants to incentivize energy-saving developments featuring solar power, heat pumps, and energy retrofits. A lot of work, and again, like Scott Gillingham, a lot of work towards implementing more green energy projects that have carbon emissions in mind, but he adds on that EV power charging station. So, you know, Winnipeg is a city where we have to drive mostly. If you want to get anywhere in the city, you have to have a car and have a driver's license. But he wants to make it easier for people to own and drive electric vehicles in the city. Jenny Motkaluk, as I said, the only thing from the environment on her platform is doubling the number of trees Winnipeg plants. Trees are very important to our environment and to cutting emissions. Glenn Murray's plan is kind of a lot of platitudes. He wants to make homes more electric and have trees considered basic infrastructure, like I've talked about before. No real hard plans on it, but having trees be considered basic infrastructure is interesting, and I think it's pretty important. His platform overall, I will say this, outside of city services and planning, is very bare bones. It's a lot of promises, a lot of platitudes about, like, you know, doing, I want to, you know, restore this, I want to do this, I want houses to be more electric, I want to meet with union leaders and, you know, turn Winnipeg into a cultural hub and all of these things. He does want to buy more electric buses. I think he wants to double the order that we already have for electric buses here in the city, and, you know, speed up the rapid transit programs, which is environmentally focused in a way. But a lot of he has a wide platform, but not a deep platform. Robert Falcon Ouellette doesn't have anything on his platform about the environment. Rick Schoen on the environment, very extensive, very deep. Here's the quick hits. He wants to make every city vehicle low or zero emission, phase out gas-powered lawn and yard equipment, install 100 EV charging stations, and eliminate parking subsidies for Winnipeg employees. Promise to have the city prune trees on public property more often and plant a new tree for everyone that's removed. Pledge to create incentives to convert surface parking into green spaces and for property owners to use vegetation to retain stormwater. Wants new buildings to be built with LEED gold standards. And Schoen has also committed to launching a citywide composting program. That's a big thing that a lot of them have on their platform. And then once again, Don Woodstock has nothing on his platform. Easy. So I hope this helps. If it helps any of you vote, but that'll do it for the episode. Thank you very much for listening. If you're listening live on 101.5 UMFM, got some great songs for your shows coming up right after this one. And as always, keep that dial to 101.5 and have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful day.